Okay, should we start? So this is a very rough outline of what we're going to do today. There won't be very many lectures. We will mainly try to work with some cases that you will also bring on to the rest of the course. But first, I'll just, maybe there are... I haven't been to all the lectures, so maybe there are a few repetitions here, but anyway, we can probably live with that. I'll just talk a little bit about how I feel about the process of working user-centered and my experiences from that, and why and how we should think when we work user-centered. We will also do what I've in this connection called an ID sprint, that's focusing on the case that I'm going to bring up today, or the what we call it, the thing you're going to work on and prototype and stuff like that. We are also going to do something called a PACT analysis, which you may have heard of or may not have heard of. PACT in this PACT here means people, activities, contexts, and technologies, which is then some of the elements that we think we need to describe in order to make a user-centered product in some way. And I always forget to do this. Start recording. That's bad usability. It doesn't remind me of what to do. Requires me to remember, and that's a very bad thing. So, are you ever using the word user when you are talking about the concept or talking about what a system should be do? The user should be able to. The user should be able to get from A to B in an efficient way. He should be able to order. He should be able to do whatever. Well, as I see it, there are no such user. You don't ever find a user. You find a person down there. Someone who is probably different from many others. So, what I strongly like to do is to encourage you to move away from this term user when you're talking about the product. Well, in some contexts, it may be necessary, but when you talk among yourselves, or when you are developing a prototype, when you're developing a concept in some way, well, remember that. Try to remember that you are developing something for someone, not this general user, because there are nobody that's both old and young and childless with two children or whatever we could call them. They don't exist. But John and Mary and Frode, we exist. Right? And we have certain requirements, we have certain abilities, we have certain limitations. But we don't all have the same all the time. So we have to keep not the statistical user in mind, but individuals in mind. That's what we work for. So we are very different, and we have very different interests. And we probably can't design a system that fits all. And these are things we have to describe. The light is too bright here. Is that better, or is it better to take the whole thing off? No. Yeah. Okay. Should go through some of my nice pictures then. But because these are actually real figures from a user-centered process that I was working with once, where we were building a home hub. This was in the early days of the internet, and one idea was to put the internet on everybody's TVs. So we made set-top boxes, where people could browse the internet through very nice broadband connections they got in their homes in a small valley in a fjord in the western part of Norway. Lots of money in some of these villages or societies. That's another thing I forgot to do. There's many things to remember here if I'm going to distribute the audio. So the point is, these old guys had never used computers before they got this set-top box. While you had people that were at least somewhat younger who also had a very strong interest in using things, who knew the technology, and among the users here, not that these are real users, were also some more like nerds who were those who took the initiative to make these systems. And these are, some require a lot of education, some require, at least for the first group we saw there, they require to be able to get more contrast on the screen, because the lady there was had difficulties with her sight, for instance. And we can't design a system that fits all these. That's my first point, if you haven't touched this already. So don't talk about the user. What we're going to do later today and later in this course is to try to work around this and try to work with or apply methods that allow us to think about people, not the general user. As I said, it's not going to be a very we're not going to do a lot of lecturing today. You're going to work in groups with many things, but just a reminder here that the process of working user-centered is not necessarily a linear process. You don't start at one point and end in another point. Well, you're talking about product, but anyway, we can start with very many different things. And I'd like you to just sit with your neighbor on the table here now and start think about this, the first task here. It's just an easy task. You bought a new flat. It's your own flat. And it's completely empty. So how will you address such a situation? What will you do when you are in a situation like this? How will you think when you're going to do this? So I'd like you to discuss with your neighbor, and then you write down a few of the first steps that you will do in this process of getting to this or furnishing this flat. Just 3, 4, 5 minutes. let's stop there. And let's see now if we did things differently, and maybe we did, and you can think about how you approach this. Anyone, what did you write down?
So we wrote different things, we shared
them okay.
together, but we had different ideas at first. I would choose an area in the house that I want to furnish first.
You'll choose an area?
That okay. Kitchen.
Okay, so you'll compartmentalize things and things.
Then in the area, I will prioritize what I need more urgently, like the sofa, let's say.
Okay, you need a sofa, you need somewhere to rest.
Yeah. And third point, I will browse online for places and inspiration.
Okay. I go online and browse for good ideas, things to copy. Yeah? You had many different approaches there. Anyone else? Okay, some more or higher ideas about how what this was this flat should express or something.
Yeah. And also find out about what budget I have.
Budget limitations. All these things at once? Where would you start, you'd say?
With talking about ideas.
Yeah. Higher ideas. Well, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this and do it very much in detail. The point is, we can do all sorts of things, and nothing is wrong and nothing is right. And that also goes for the process of working user-centered, right? You can start with okay. Well, what we tend to do a lot when we are working with traditional user-centered ways is to focus very much on hard requirements. What is this thing going to do? And the same also goes for this, maybe goes for this flat, but there are a lot of other things we can, other ways to approach a problem like this. This is just, if we have a task like this, well, some of you started out with pure requirements here. I need somewhere to work. I need somewhere to put away all my stuff so it doesn't show up all the time. Those are you could say pure requirements. Others would start in the other end with a higher, you could say, concept or something. I just need some working space. I need. And you don't think about furniture at all till very late in the process. Some will start with a very physical approach. You see, I have this very nice bed, and I need to put it there. I need somewhere to put it, and everything else depends on that. So I will whatever I can fit in after the bed. Well, that's fine. So you have all these different ways of approaching this problem. Or you may want to work more with ideas. Well, I want to make this into a bright, Nordic, clean flat with very little visual noise around me. Cool. Or maybe you've seen pictures of Brad Pitt's flat or something like that. I don't know. And you want to copy that. The point is, you can do all sorts of approaches to a problem like this. But no matter how you address it, and well, nothing is wrong here. none of these activities is right or wrong. You will probably get to the same point in some way, and you will probably fit the ideas that you had in the beginning. But no matter how you do it, you will have to go through some kind of evaluation. Because, well, if you see that, if you see that bed in the catalog that you were browsing through, which was one of your ideas here, well, will it fit? Will it get in the way? Will I get around it? Will I stumble if I put it there? Will it fit with the existing furniture I have? Is it really a good idea to paint the walls of my kitchen black? How will that look after a while? So you have to go through evaluations, but you can start out with almost anything, and nothing is right and nothing is wrong. It's just my initial message here. Anyway, what we are going to do now is that we will go more back to I will talk about requirements. We're going to make a system now. We're going to be put in a situation where we are going to be creative around making a system. And in some way, we will have to work with requirements for that system. So we will have to work with some ideas about what the system should do, what tasks it should do. Requirements about what it must look like, maybe. Where it would look like it does. In what context does it look like something? Will it have to talk with other systems, work in other environments in a good way? The requirements we are going to deal with, they can be very functional. The system should be able to do this specific task. It should support me when I want to order a product. Well, then it should prompt me in a very good way to how to enter my bank card or payment details or something like that. That's a very functional thing, and it should do this within a very limited short of time or something like that. Or it could be more non-functional things, like it shouldn't cost too much for the end user. It shouldn't cost too much for me to produce. That's another thing. It should fit into a context in some way when it comes to aesthetics. It shouldn't be too bulky. It should be something you can carry. I'm not sure. For technology, that might be the case. It should fit into an organizational context. Those are all different types of requirements. And we need to make a picture of these types of requirements. And in order to do that, we need to make, or in some way gather... Oh, stories. That is a very awkward type of feedback when you hear a voice half a second late. We need stories from, well, not users. I happen to use the word user again. I told you not to do that. About what they're going to do. What activities they're going to perform on a given system. What technologies maybe they're going to use for it. What context they're using it in. We need these elements that makes it possible for us to see the system or put up the necessary limitations and possibilities for a system, so that we actually make something that someone will have a use of. That's being user-centered. But and of course, one way to, I don't know if you've done much of this, some probably have, a very central part, which you're probably going to you work more on next week, is it? Or the next meeting you have, are on more, or these scenarios. Scenarios are more complete stories of what systems does. And maybe also of who the users are and stuff like that. Gathering these requirements can be done in very many ways. We will try to apply one method now, which we can call a focus group method, where we are going to use post-it notes and stuff like that to create ideas. But of course, in ideal situations, you in addition to that, we would probably do a lot of other things. You would maybe observe people in the context where, or in situations where you want to make a new system to appear. You will maybe do interviews. You will send out questionnaires. You will do all sorts of these activities, which are all user-centered activities. We can't do all that here now. So the information element, or the main information element that we are going to create here, are based on ideas you yourself get. But we'll try to now to make a task that's somewhat close to your context, close to what you are in. And the case is as follows, and we will continue with this case, won't we, Anders? So we will bring this on for the next meetings as well. So this is the system that you eventually is going to prototype and think about. Purely theoretically, we are giving you the possibility to create a new system to support learning. So yeah, we're making a new learning management system, as it's called. There are some of them out there. You are looking at one now, of course. But don't limit yourself to that. Well, that's of course ideas, but think of this as a process where you are completely free. You're here to come up with ideas and requirements for a learning management system. And we are in an extremely early phase. What we're going to do now is that we're going to create ideas. Imagine there are no learning management systems out there. What would we need? What would we like this system to do? Later, we will also look at how it should look like. But that's not the task here today. We are going now to work only with the ideas about what such a system should do, and maybe also a little bit with who is using the system. So we're not talking about the general user, but we will talk about specific users. And the way we are going to do this is that we'll do some kind of a what we can call an ID sprint. A relatively short process where we work with these nice post-it notes. You may have been in situations where you have worked with these before. And on such a note, we would like you to individually, well, we will put you together in maybe in how many groups are there now in the room? So if we put you two and two groups together, you will probably be some eight people in each segment or something like that. That could be okay. So if you go together two and two groups, what I'd like you to do is first individually for 15 minutes or something, write notes that contains a name, and then maybe parentheses an H. So there must be someone. And you need to define this someone, just not only by name maybe, but also maybe by gender, so we know a little bit more about this user. So there is no general user, there is a person you're going to think of doing something. Ideally, this person also is someone. So is a teacher, is a student in something? Student in interaction, Kari, student, Kari, 26. Female student in interaction design, master's in interaction design. And she does something. And this does something should only be a very small nugget of information. It's not a big final goal you're going to write down here. It's only small actions that she wants support from during using this system, that she wants to do while using this system. So spend 15 minutes on this first. You can write as many notes as you wish. And after we have done this, your task is to will be to prioritize these notes. And then we will go group-wise and do a sorting of the IDs that you create. Okay? You know what to do. Yeah, so of course it should be related to the case. We want to make a system to support learning. That's your task. So we're going to make a new learning management system. This is the background. So it's not I want to go out and have a drink or something. It's that's probably nothing this system could support anyway. course. What you're doing now, as we try to discuss here, is just this is probably one of the most common ways to address a start point of a project like this. If a consultancy company or a developer who are going to start more or less from scratch to get started in a good way, it's very typical that they gather a focus group, either from the company who is ordering the product or from those who are going to make the product for, and do this kind of ID sprint similar to this one. It could be different. They could have other tasks, like I said, on to how to make these post-it notes. We do this because we're going to reuse these notes now for later in the course. But this is a very common start point. What we'll do now is that we'll just take a short break. And when we get back in 15 minutes, we will sit together in some new group constellations where two and two groups from this class go together, and then we'll start doing a sorting process of these post-it notes. So don't worry, leave them on your desk. I will give you a short new assignment before we start the sorting process. Okay, 15 minutes. Yeah. I don't know how these groups are organized, but what I'd like you to do now is that I'd like you to sit. I guess the groups consist of some four persons, and that's probably too small groups for getting enough information from something like this. So what I'd like you to do now is that I'd like you to sit in three groups. Organize yourself in three groups. But keep the group structure so that all that's on one working group stay together, because you're going to use the material that we create now also later in this course. So the groups will keep their what they produce now.
So gather in your current groups and find two other groups. Right?
Find one more group. So
one more group.
So four, yeah. I'd say that will be groups around eight, and that's fine for this task, I think. Dere vet hvordan de er organisert, så. Wait a little before you put this on the wall. What we usually do in focus groups in these kinds of post-it ID sprints is that we have everyone prioritize their two most important notes, what they consider most important, two of them, and write a one and a two on it. That will also help us later to maybe get an idea of what's most important in a system. Don't put them up yet. We'll try to do this in a structured way now.
Okay.
Yeah. So. So the usual way to do this is that we start with one of you who put up a note and tell what's on it. And if you could start maybe and put up the most important one as you see it.
So he's JP, he's 24, he's maybe interaction design student, and he wants to see his lecture schedule every day.
Okay. And the next point is usually to say, does anyone have similar notes that's more or less identical to that one? Mm-hmm. And then you put it on this, so what, just put them over each other so that they become one.
Same age?
Okay. No.
No. About the task.
Depends on what. Let's say what is the organizational? Why do we want to organize things now? Well, I say let's start with trying to organize it around activities. Another way to do this would, of course, be to organize it around people. So we just want to see who these users are. But I think what we're going to do now is that we're going to look at the activities. So focus on the activity, and who does the activity is secondary. So similar things is things that...
Schedule.
Yeah, so looking at your schedule is the thing there.
About the schedule, yes.
Okay. Okay. There is another possibility, and that is that we put it on the table here instead. This will be.
Or you can use your Slack from the mask.
No, but you do it here. Use this one, and then we can take a photograph or something afterwards. Because of course, in. Okay. Yeah. That's the downside of being environmentally concerned.
Okay, and then.
So what you've done now is that you've made one lump that says, "Use my or access my schedule, teaching schedule." Of course, what we may end up with here is something very similar to a menu system. We're lucky, or I'm not sure, but this tend to be very similar to that. So, have you started? So, someone else? Do you have a high priority one that's different from this?
Yes, I have Hege. She's 48 years old and a teacher.
Mm.
And she wants to collect the assignments and grade them.
Ah, so she's a teacher. Mm-hmm.
So I got something easy sharing idea with students, but I wrote as a teaching assistant.
Okay.
Maybe not
same, but maybe the same, but maybe the same task, or maybe it's somewhat different. That's up to you to decide. Is it different? It's different. Okay, next.
Okay.
Anna, and she's 40, a female, part-time postgraduate student, master in public administration, and she wants to keep up with the studies remotely, like us.
Okay. Flavor? I'd say let's look at the activity first.
Right.
Look at what is she doing?
Yeah,
because I'll problematize this a little bit afterwards. Cause okay. She's a little different, but she wants her schedule. Right. So next.
No, Sarita.
But you have more, right? So take the next one.
Next one, I have Cindy. She's 29 years old and she's a student.
Mm.
She wants the system to send all the learning material automatically to her email after the lecturer uploads to the system.
Mm-hmm. That's different.
Yes.
So just continue like this. I think the organizing principle now should be the activities. So this is input for later for user scenarios, for instance.
Interaction design student want to create some online library.
So you're organizing this around activities now, right?
Yeah.
What they're doing? Mm.
PDF book only for this course,
like
for example.
Like a reading point.
Read,
you
yeah.
can read PDF there.
Yeah, yeah, in the system. No, so you
similar.
Go
yeah.
to
yeah.
the...
I think it's different.
I have similar way.
Preparation or the... No, how online library, but not in library,
yeah.
a library for course.
Yeah,
for
I think like I have similar with her. Like, he wants the system automatically find a PDF version of the book
yeah.
with this list on the reading list.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. The reading requirements.
There's some very creative.
well, I've similar is about Martin, a researcher that would like to access all the material that he's producing inside the school, like thesis and research paper
mm.
from his computer.
Yeah.
Yes.
My priority one is I create a scene.
Har du en undervisningsplan? Bare for å se hva det er du skal innom.
Jag har den, jag kan ta upp den.
Ja, den här finnar nu.
Den är på Blackboard, men den är...
Nej, resten av kurset. Jag ska bara se vilka stickord som står där.
That scenario says that you want to have combined all different sources in one learning test.
Serie du ser på Netflix
da. Ja. På hytta. Mm. Ja, vi har utvecklat en aktivitet i vår familj som heter Sova TV. Men det inser att kanske andra gör det också.
Sova TV, ja. Jag sover ljudbok.
Ja, ja, det gör jag också. Jag sover radio.
Ja.
Det bästa är dansk radio. Det blir så...
Med flöjt. Väldigt mjukt.
Väldigt
mjukt.
Då ska vi se. Här är föräldrar.
Så ska vi se vad som har varit.
Det har varit. Det är idag. Så resten är då... Just det. Så nästa gång är det... Continuation of guidelines.
Men är det ingenting om sån scenariobygging och personer och sånt?
Det står det idag. Kapitel 7 handlar om det.
Okay.
Om data gathering users and needs. Alltså det är egentligen idag. Men jag håller med dig och jag skulle gärna vilja att de gör fler intervjuer och testa lite olika metoder. Men också att de kanske i varje fall går ut på campus och hittar några andra. Eller. Det var det jag tänkte man kunde göra i Makerspace då. Att, där kan man hitta bachelorstudenterna som man engagerar lite. Eller. Och det är jättebra med det att de själva också går och testar och var den testen med Colorado som du kom med igår också. Alltså, man,
ja. Men var det, jag har inte snackat med den, fick den folk eller?
Jag tror det var några. Jag kan ta upp det idag igen.
Ja, det är, ja, vi kan vänta, vi kan ta en lunch efterpå. Så.
Men till idag då så är
men det jag lurer på, kan vi då se si att vi vil at disse grupperne skal gjøre en eller annen, som skal lage noen personas og,
ja.
For du har og også, scenarier.
Ja, for du har jo også deres tas.
Ja.
Till nästa gång.
Ja, den här.
Sen har jag inte, och sen har jag inte lagt upp fler, men det är de... Oj.
Ja, det är alltså.
Nej, det var ett sånt. Det var ett sånt. Ja, det var det. Sorry. Det finns en... Där. Det finns en... Task. Tas 3, då är det. För det är nästa gång, 15 september, så ska de jobba med det här.
Vi kan ju se att de, nu har de ju ett material att jobba med.
Ja.
Kan vi inte bara se att de önskar att de gruppevis brukar lite tid för nästa gång?
Ja.
Hvor de da lager seg, har en idé om noen brukere, personer, artistiske brukere.
Okay. I just like to have a few words before we take a lunch break here now. What you have made now is input that you will use in the rest of the course, right? These are kind of information nuggets that you'll put into stuff later. And one obvious way of using this material is to take it into a couple of the very central parts of a user-centered design process, and that is making what we call personas. Personas are typical users of a system, but with a name and a life. And not only personas, but it should also be taken into usage scenarios. And the notes that you have created and the groups you have created are already now very close to both personas and usage scenarios. So you can create persons out of them, and you can create tasks and situations and usage scenarios out of them. And just to a few words about the terms I use now. The term persona, I think it was formally introduced and structured by Alan Cooper in a book called The Inmates Are Running the Asylum. A very nice book. Came out in 1999, I think. Where he introduced this person and talks about them as archetypical users of a system, the typical user of a system, not the general user as a user, but someone with a name. And it's very commonly used in the industry as a standard way of dealing with user-centered processes. The argument is that you can never have, well, you have access to users now and then, but you can never have access to the end user throughout the whole process. So this is one way to keep a user inside the head of the developers and those who are dealing or playing with a system. I can just give an example of this. Maybe we weren't that good at it, but this was around 2005, I think. We were working with, as I told, this company who worked with the set-top boxes. We developed that into a general concept for a home entertainment system, some kind of a media center in the home. And in that, we had a very creative group of developers. There were a couple of designers. There was me, and there was about 10 very good coders, people who were working with this system. And we had all sorts of ideas, but what we quite early saw was that we tended to end up in very freak situations with a lot of functions that, well, we just added and added and added functions based on some ideas that developers had of something that could be done and that somebody maybe could benefit from doing. And what we did then in this design group was that the story was always the user wants to, well, he wants to do this and this, he wants to sort the media in this way, the user wants to, and the user became one very blurry thing in this context. And then what we did was that we actually said that, well, developers, you're not allowed anymore to use the term users. What you should do is to use a name. And we created a few names. So we created Berit and Henrik and Lise and Christian and Anna, a typical family constellation, because they were the users here. So we created these typical users. We gave them lives. We gave them jobs. We gave them hobbies. We added a few words that described them. And we put this sheet in front of all the designers. So instead of letting them talk about designers, we always force them to say, Henrik wants a function where he can. So that we always put it down to that level. And this is, of course, one way of handling situations like this. Descriptions of personas can be very different. It can be full-fledged stories with pictures. It can be just illustrations. If you go to the big software companies that has a interaction design department, you tend always to find these large posters with typical personas. These are our personas. Microsoft does this. Microsoft has, if you go, you can find them on the net. They have descriptions of their personas, which are typical users like this. And of course, this is to keep them in the loop, keep them in the process. There may be a real Henrik, there may be a real Berit out there, which these are based on. And by describing them like this, we keep them in the process. And you're very close to making such things now based on the post-it notes that you created. Because you created persons. And another way to regroup these post-it notes, we won't do that now, but another way to regroup them is to try to regroup them into people instead of tasks as you did now. The task grouping, which all of you probably have done now, because we didn't force you to do this. The group I was following, I guess I gave you this as a more or less an instruction, because you asked for it. I guess the others did the same thing, because it's a natural way to do it, and. This leads to another concept, and that is the concept of scenarios. That we start out with relatively vague, and that this is probably something you have done now, small, vague user stories. A person wants to do something specific with something. That's typically a user story, and we're over here now. But this can be developed into more, more detailed scenarios, which can again lead to concrete design solutions. So. What I think is a good idea now is that, there is a week without a meeting now. But what I think is a good idea. You had a task description there. Yeah. Was it task 4 or something in that list?
Task 3. Okay.
Yeah. So I think it's a good
to make the users more clear, and also the scenarios, the stories, what are they doing?
So I think it's a good idea that these groups now comes together and tries to make both personas and start developing scenarios, usage scenarios based on the stuff you have here now. I can show. We probably show you the example that we had here was a very simplified version of personas. What's considered important when it comes to personas is that they are there shouldn't be too many. So it's usually better to restrict yourself. In this case, better than just adding more personas which are somewhat different. Try to add more, you could say, requirements into each persona instead of having very many different personas. The family situation was quite natural to make here, because it was a usage situation which had old people, which had middle-aged people, and had kids as users. So it was natural to do this. In your case, it's probably better to look at different roles, but not restrict yourself to roles, because there may be some very important differences within these roles. When I talk about roles, I talk about students, teachers. You probably identified more people. Administrative people, maybe. At least you need these represented, but there may be a need for a couple of people in some of those categories or representing those roles. You understand the need for this? And you see that it's quite natural to get there now. So I think it's a good, yeah?
But should they be people, persons?
They should have a name. They should have a name, they should have an age, they should have a life outside being users of the system you're developing. They should be, let's say, Henrik here, he's a hobby musician. He is a rather creative person. He's not very good at remembering lists of information. So he's... But you give him a life. He's a teacher. She's an IT consultant. Maybe that describes who they are. So the point is, you get a feeling about their characteristics and needs and requirements based on their on these descriptions. So name, age, hobbies, life situation is quite typical to have. I can show you because in addition to this, in this. Case, this is in Norwegian, sorry for that, but some of you can read Norwegian, I guess. This family, we have some general description of the family as well, which we kept there. They live in Oslo at Nordstrand, which is a upper middle class area in Oslo. Nice, stable economy. They often buy new technologies. They have a couple of TVs, one in the living room, one in Christian's room, which is the oldest son there, and so on. It's very focused on technology. I don't think I would have made it like this today. I think I would have added a bit more about their life situation, who is home when, stuff like that, which hobbies they have, yeah. Yeah, there is no one way of doing this. So it can be done in different ways. In a course I had some years ago, I had a group who developed a very sophisticated and nice family for a multimedia system. So they made this great family. They had somewhere to live, and each person was described like this. There is Ruth, she's 72, pensioner, widower, likes bingo and grandchildren and the TV program Norge Rundt, listens to Vikingarna, a warm, old-fashioned person, doesn't like technology very much. And we have a further description of her, like a story that describes her. This is also a very good, very thoroughly done thing on this. And they did a creative process. I think they even had a very nice one in the end there. They added the dog, Bertil, in the end there. And he liked to chew remote controls, so that actually added some requirements to the system. In the end, what they did then was that for each of these persons, they also added some use stories. And that's of course, the different notes you've written now. Those are small use stories, which they developed again into concrete scenarios as an input for a concrete design. So this is just one example of how to do this. This was done very thoroughly. Maybe I don't expect you to make this much out of it, but you get the idea. You get the idea about the road we want you to walk. And this is a very... So what we've done now is a very typical first step of such a design process. The input is usually not only this. This is what we have now, but it can also be observations. It can be individual interviews. It can be observations of existing technologies. It's probably a good idea to get some ideas from Blackboard and Frontier and these existing learning management systems. But this should be, and this is the final word before lunch, you should use this as input now for making personas and making the start on the process of making usage scenarios, because that's what you need in order to create a prototype later.
Yeah, about prototyping, you can use it also in